Shores, El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And he was talking entertainment show that knows whither goest thou in the American night. That's a quote from a Allen Ginsberg poem. I don't know if... Allen Ginsberg, don't worry about it. Robert Greene is with us. We're going to have Vernon Dozier on later on in the hour to talk about traffic, but we are talking about what turned out to be a great misunderstanding at the Fraser Foods in Buena Park during the course of business last week as people were getting ready for Thanksgiving. A woman walked into the store and asked Mr. Greene, "Where are your meat thermometers?" And this began a series of events that escalated to a confrontation, as one of my callers pointed out. And we had Mr. Greene threatening to throw this woman bodily out of the store. And what was transpiring was essentially a meat thermometer became some sort of a childish metaphor that Mr. Greene felt that she was using on purpose. And no, she wasn't. And so there you go. We're going to get back to his phone call and your calls as well. 877-876-PHIL. And you listen to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're also available online at philhendryshow.com. And by that, I mean you can watch a live-streaming video of the show tonight. You can also hear the podcast of the show tomorrow. You can also hear archives of our legacy show, which was the golden age of the Phil Hendry Radio Show, at our website. All you need is a backstage pass for all of it, and you just go to philhendryshow.com, pick up a backstage pass, and you have access to the largest reservoir, the largest archive of any single radio show ever in the history of the world. And I'm not kidding. All right, 877-876-PHIL. By the way, we have our brand new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. They're in, and you got to check those out. We also have our Phil Hendry Show ball caps, our T-shirts. We have our shot glasses, our coffee mugs. We have our legacy CDs, which will be available as downloads very soon. So all the more reason to get a backstage pass and to be a part of the marvelousness that we is. Right, bud?
Yeah.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, getting back online with Robert Greene. And this has been a very challenging hour for you, Bob, but do you see any better where people are going with this?
Well, you know, Phil, do I see? Yes, I do. And do I appreciate what people are saying? Yes, I do. Do they see what I'm up against? Do they see what my challenges are? My challenge is to sell the product, to treat my customer with as much respect as I possibly can, to hopefully get their business back again and again and again and again. And so I pull out all the stops. I am gracious. I use humor. I use I'm personable with my customers. I know my customers. I know their families. I know their children. I have been known to send birthday cards and happy anniversary cards and things like that. Here comes a brand new customer. I didn't recognize this woman at all. It takes a lot to become a Fraser Foods customer. And so naturally, when someone walks into our store that we've never seen before, who is this person? Are they going to really come in and spend some money, or are they there to get razor blades? You know how it is. So when she walked in, and she said, "Where's your meat thermometers?" And she said the plural, that's what I was told. For some reason, I heard singular. And I thought, well, if you're going to come in here like you own the joint.
You know, well, you didn't tell me that this
Well, hold on for a minute, Phil.
No. You didn't tell me that the woman walked in like she owned the joint. In other words, you had an adversarial thing for her right off the bat.
No, I did not. She was very attractive, and you know how a lot of attractive women are. They do walk into a place like they own the joint. And part of what you do when you're a grocer is you want to make sure that no one gets bigger than you. In other words, I'm the store manager, yes. But I'm also the owner of the grocery chain. So no customer is going to get bigger than me in terms of what I know about the store. So when she came in and said, "Where's your meat thermometer?" I said, you know, and I looked out, as I said. Was it a bad choice? Possibly. Was it crude? Possibly. Was her reaction over the top? Absolutely. Because I turned around, I looked at Jerry and Doug, and I went blah, 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 like that, and I pointed, you know, between my legs, and I acted like a guy. Meanwhile, she's going on and on and on about sexual harassment.
Did she see you doing what you were doing?
I don't think so.
You don't think so. So while this woman is complaining about sexual harassment, you're making fun of her. And, Bob, I must say to you...
Phil, there's been an awful lot of talk here about...
No, but hold on. I've got to tell you that everything you're saying here doesn't... It's not adding up to be a very good thing for you. I don't know how else to say it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone caller. This is Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing? Listen,
I'm good, sir.
What's the gentleman's name again? The owner?
We have Robert Green. Robert Green.
My name is Bob Green, sir.
Bob, I don't mean to sound rude and shrewd, but you as an owner, as a grocery store and as a chain, and you announce it with such vulgarity like you're God. Don't you know what you're doing? The more you're talking, the more you're burying yourself. Do you hear yourself?
What do you mean like I've got? What do you mean like I've got? All I'm saying is that when you walk into my store, you're a customer, I'm the owner. Don't you think that that's significant?
Listen, that's good that you're owner. You've been there since the 80s, as you said. But the fact is, that lady came in to get something for her family. You looked at it as a sexual order because the fact is you said she was attractive. Any lawyer hearing something like that, the lady's got a case automatically. But beside that, what if I came in and asked as a woman, where is the meatballs? What aisle would it be in? Would you make a joke about that? Would it be funny?
If you walked in, you're a guy. No, I wouldn't make a joke about it. What are you talking about?
For someone who claims to be so intelligent and to own such a magnet of stores, do you honestly think how you're thinking? Do you know how you sound? You sound belligerent. Honestly, I'm not trying to be...
Sir, I have to tell you, the only one that sounds belligerent here, sir, is you. You came on... You already were loaded for bear when you came on the air here. I mean, I haven't done anything to you. You sound like you're...
Well, the gentleman is responding, Bob, to some comments you've made that sound very outrageous. You know.
Well, he's the one that didn't even say to me, what would I say to you if you asked where the meatballs were? What is that?
Yeah, the female. How are you going to make a joke about somebody who comes to ask for a thermometer for her turkey and you thinking about some sexual position for yourself because you said, listen, I thought she was attractive. I've never seen her before. Does everybody in your store who walk in that you've never seen before you're going to make a sexual comment about? Do you know how you sound when you're
No, sir. It is a way of seeing whether they make the grade as a customer. Now, I can tell you that...
What does that mean, make the grade, man? I've never heard of anything like that, where I got to make the grade.
Hold on. I can tell this gentleman that when a woman came in, I think a lady did come into our store a couple of years ago, and she said, where are the Swedish meatballs? And I made the joke. I said, he's in the back cutting the meat.
Well, you know what?
Do you like that? And I can hear somebody laughing, and I'll tell you, didn't laugh.
And she thinks
that's your wife?
Really ridiculous. That's my wife, who's in the background laughing. I would not come to your store, and I would suggest anyone else would not go to your store because you're a pervert. Because of the way you're standing.
Your wife laughed. The female in your home laughed, and I think that's significant. You're calling up upset.
Because you sound silly. For you to be at such magna cum laude, as you said, your highest point, to have the grocery store, and you consider to talk constantly, oh, I'm the owner, I'm not a chain, I'm the one who owns the store. You're telling me, yeah, go into your pocket and take what you got because that's what you're saying. I speak it because I own it, and you're going to get it because they're going to take it
right
from you.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing that I think we're not discussing, gentlemen. Bob, you can't just, even if you own the store, we have a Public Accommodations Act that's a federal law in this country. You can't just act any way you want with people that you're actively soliciting the business from, the public.
Well, hold on for a minute, Phil. What a nice speech.
Well, if you want to be a smartass about it.
No, I'm not going to be a smart. You're the guy that gave the speech.
No, I'm telling you what the law is. You can't sexually harass someone. You can't throw them out of your store because they're black or white or pink. There are certain things that if you're going to do business with the public, you must adhere to. Okay?
And I'm not allowed to have a couple of laughs. Okay, thank you very much, both of you gentlemen. You've let me know I don't get to enjoy my life. Thank you. Great. Great, thank you. No, no.
Just don't be the clown.
I let me write that down. You can own a circus, just don't be the clown. All right.
Well, you know, you're being a... All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call, Mike. Thank you, buddy. 877-876-PHIL. And
I want to go back to something, Phil, because I think it's very significant. That guy's on the phone reading me the riot act, okay? He's scorching me up one side down the next. But who was laughing in that house? His wife.
Well, he said that she thought you sounded like a jackass, okay?
Oh, I see. Isn't that convenient? I made the joke about where the lady said to me, where are your Swedish meatballs? I said he's in the back cutting the meat. And I heard that woman go, ha, ha, ha. You heard it, too.
And would you mind not belching?
I beg your pardon?
Would you mind not belching?
I apologize, Phil. I just had salmon for dinner. I apologize.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Here's a guy that is talking to women. Where's your meat thermometer? Well, ha, ha, pointing between his legs. Now he's belching up his salmon dinner. Where are the Swedish meatballs? He's in the back cutting the meat. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, with Robert Greene talking about, this Thanksgiving shopping season, especially the last couple of weeks, and in his store and in other stores. You know, we are in such close proximity with each other, and there is so much contact, and there is there's a lot that's happening. There is money changing hands, there's questions being asked, there's the friendliness of the store, there's the lack of friendliness, whatever. And right in the middle of that, Bob, you had a lady asking about meat thermometers, and it turned into a sexual harassment situation.
Well, absolutely, Phil, and I didn't mean to sexually harass the lady, but then again, I thought she came into the store, saw me, thought she'd take a shot, and...
When you say thought she'd take a shot, she was attracted to you.
Well, look, I'm the owner of the store, I have money. I don't think it's any secret between you or me or anyone. You know, women are interested in men with money. And it doesn't really matter what we look like. So this is all I'm saying.
All right. I get it. 877-876.
Oh, hold on for a minute. All I'm saying was the lady said, where's your meat thermometer? Like she was hitting on me.
Like she was hitting on you, even though we've already sort of told you that, you know, it doesn't sound like that's the case. 877-876-PHIL. Wanda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing? Look.
Good. Thank you.
From a woman's point of view, you know, I hadn't heard any women call in. And I just want to say that just listening to this guy for probably the last 40 to 45 minutes, I don't think he's sensitive to the needs of women, to how women feel. I think what he said was totally inappropriate. And all the things that your callers have been saying, I agree with them wholeheartedly, and I appreciate the men that feel just like the average woman would feel hearing Mr. Greene say what he said. That was inappropriate and out of line. Mr. Greene seems to think that he's got it to the point where every woman wants him, so he handled that all wrong. If I lived in his area, I would not patronize his store based on the way he conducted himself and then follow it up by getting on the intercom, handling things the way he did. So, sorry,
ma'am,
Mr. Greene.
All I'm saying is I know that, I may be 5 foot, I'm not tall, and I do wear a hairpiece. But
that,
I'm,
none of that is
I'm
relevant.
A wealthy man.
None of that is relevant.
I'm a wealthy man. I'm a wealthy
none
man.
Relevant. That doesn't excuse how you
Why
conduct
would that be
yourself.
Relevant?
That was sexual harassment. I don't care how you cut it. And you're just making excuses for doing
Ma'am,
it.
What you're telling me, you see, you're saying to me it's impossible that that woman didn't walk in, eyeball me, and immediately try to take a shot.
No.
You're saying that's total.
I don't believe that's the way it happened. I think you are delusional. And you think it happened that way. Not for an instant do I think it happened that way. Just like some of the other callers said, it's the holidays. We use thermometers to check the temperature of the food we are cooking. I think you took it wrong.
I understand. Well, ma'am, but you see, you're saying to me that I was insensitive.
Would you
say that I'm delusional? Well, you say I'm delusional.
You were insensitive. You are delusional, and you were very disrespectful. And this is coming from a woman who's been sexually harassed. You were wrong, Mr. Green, and it's okay to admit that you were wrong, but you were wrong.
I understand that you think I'm wrong, but I don't like the assumption that I said the wrong thing when a woman walks in and may be eyeballing me.
You don't have any evidence that she was eyeballing you. Other than the fact that when she said, "Where is the meat thermometers?" you say she smiled.
This is exactly what she did, and I would like the lady. She goes, "Where's your meat thermometer?" You know how people would show teeth when they smile? She was like, "Where's your meat thermometer?"
Would you rather her have given you a frown instead? Would you rather for her to have asked you in a demanding voice?
Well, I got to be honest. I was married to a woman like that once.
Oh, so you're gonna?
Let me ask you this, ma'am. All right, I got a perfect example for you. You sound to me like you have a very low voice. Perhaps somebody might mistake you for a man, right?
Well, it's happened.
So what if I'm talking to you on the phone and you call? All right, but what if you call on the phone, Fraser Foods? You say, "Hey, yeah, where's your meat thermometers?" And I think you're a guy. I would just say, "Yeah, we got them in aisle 4."
Huh? So in other words, she would Wanda here would do better calling on the phone.
No, I'm just saying that I would think it was a guy calling.
Look at Wanda. Good point you made.
What are you doing now? You're blowing me off, and you're
A little bit blowing you off. Yeah, because your point is irrelevant, and I think Wanda made a series of very good points. You mean she calls in, you think it's a guy? What difference does that make? We're talking about watching a woman walk into the store, and the woman asked you a question, and you were rude. Thank you, Wanda, very much. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Jennifer on the Phil Henry Show. Jennifer, go ahead, please.
Hi. I was just calling in. I tuned in late. And I was calling to find out the name of this place, so I never, ever, ever shopped there accidentally. So
in that instance, ma'am, I'm not going to tell you the name of my store.
Well, I already told her. It's Fraser Foods.
Right.
And I think that what you did right there, Phil, is very destructive.
I told her. She asked me. It's Fraser Foods in Buena Park.
You got a pair on you.
You say that you appreciate the customer, as you should as a business owner, but then it's all of a sudden the customer's fault when she does something that you didn't agree with. Now, how does that make sense? And how does that profit?
What did she do? She just asked me where my meat thermometer was, and I looked between my legs and left.
Which is completely...
As a professional business owner, how does that make sense? Really?
I thought she was hitting on me.
But it doesn't matter whether you thought she was or not. If you're a professional business owner, you look past that and tell her where the meat thermometers are. I mean, it's just common sense.
Well, you're talking as a woman now. You're not talking as a man.
I'll talk as a man.
A man can't pass up an opportunity like that. If a woman walks in,
what do you mean a man can't pass up an opportunity?
Are you that desperate? You have to hit on every woman that walks in your store?
No, did I say every woman? I didn't say every woman. I said this woman walked in.
It's a pretty desperate situation, wouldn't you agree?
No, because I didn't say every woman. I said this woman walked in. She was pretty, you know, she had it going on.
Oh, you know what? You really sound revolting.
So you were attracted to her, and you automatically assume she's attracted to you because... Hey, you cut the great hair piece. Hey, she must be attracted to you. That makes sense, right?
Okay. Yeah. Let me just tell you this. I use the term hair piece. I have a $15,000 hair system. I have a $15,000 hair system.
All right,
you know what, Phil? I didn't come on your program to be laughed at. I came onto your program.
Well, Bob, everything you're saying is laugh worthy. You know.
I told you it's a hair system. I hope you and what's this lady's name, Jennifer? I hope the two of you guys sit side by side on a rocket ship to hell.
He hung up, Jennifer. He hung up.
Wow. I busted
him. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No. It's okay. It's fine. It's totally fine.
I love Wanda. Did he really go on for 45 minutes?
Yeah, Bob's been on with us now for about an hour and a half talking about this incident, but
wow.
he, yeah, and he,
I'd
this
like
is
know,
his store.
Like to, what's that?
This is his store, and he does wear this hair system, which, whatever, you know.
$15,000
worth, yeah.
I would love the next wife to call in.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much for your call, Jennifer, and all of you. Vernon Dozier is going to be coming up here in a few minutes to talk about the traffic, the Thanksgiving night traffic, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and it is either Thanksgiving, depending upon where you are, or the night before Thanksgiving. We're out here on the West Coast. We've got Thanksgiving in about, half hour, bud?
Yeah, about 27 or 29 minutes.
What does that mean, man?
27 or 29.
27 or 29 minutes. Oh, okay. Anyway, Vernon Dozier is joining us from Glendale this evening. He's on Brand Boulevard. And Glendale, for those of you who are living in other parts of the country, it's just a suburban city of Los Angeles that is like to the north, northeast a little bit of Los Angeles. And Mr. Dozier has a service station in the Glendale area. We're going to talk with him tonight, and also during the football season, during the school year. You're also over at Belmar Academy, right, Vernon?
That is correct, Bill.
You're a football coach.
Oh yeah, and I do teaching the seniors there social studies as well as our algebra, trigonometry. For our freshmen and sophomores.
All right. But tonight I want to talk about the business of selling people gasoline and just, you know, getting them gassed up and ready to go for the holidays. What kind of traffic are you seeing?
Well, as you might expect, we've seen it's been very, very heavy and continues to be heavy. I've got two of my guys on right now, and usually at night we're closed, but we've decided we'll keep it open here for at least probably we'll keep it open overnight because people are demanding, as they do, gasoline. I've got two of my guys on. I have my younger brother who is here, and this is one of the problems that we have is that my younger brother is mentally challenged, and that is, he's developmentally disabled, and so...
I understand that. I'm telling me that, I mean.
And so, I have to have him here at the... service station with me because my wife is at home and she can't really deal with that as well as the the other situations that might arise. So as a result, he's here and people are coming in and they're purchasing gasoline. And the reason why I'm mentioning all this, Phil, is because there's a very high demand, obviously, for a very precious resource, which is our oil, and the oil is refined into gasoline. We've got a lot of people who are using gasoline. Because people are using gasoline, and there's a lot of them using gasoline, I have to come out here, and I have to bring a brother of mine who is not, who needs to be taken care of. He needs to be looked after. I've got to bring him out here in the middle of the night. I've got two other guys who are on. I have to pay them. And the reason why I have to do all of this is so people can have their gasoline.
Now, but that's your business.
Well, it is my business, but it also is. It's not only is it my business; it's also my life's work in a lot of ways. And I don't like it when people treat me as if I'm just a utility. In other words, what I'm saying is, I'm not selling water, and I'm not selling air, and I'm not selling. Oxygen. This is gasoline, but I want a little bit more of a little respect, I guess is what I'm talking about.
You want a little respect. That's interesting. You know, we were just talking to a guy, Bob Green from Fraser Foods, who people were saying he didn't give people enough respect. You feel you do, though.
I give people what they need. I give them gasoline, and they come in here and they buy gasoline as if they're lining up at a gumball machine. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I'm here. My name is Vernon Dozier. This is my gas station, and I'd like a little acknowledgement. I don't want people just coming in and out of this place as if I don't exist. My developmentally disabled brother is here. I can't leave him at home with my wife because she's afraid of him. And
what, if, for any reason?
No, she doesn't want a big disabled guy, you know, hanging around. My wife is very young. As you know, Phil, I'm in my 50s. My wife has just turned 25. And
so you got a wife at home, doesn't want your developmentally disabled. Why is he? Does he live with you year-round?
No, he's just out here for the holidays. Okay, he's visiting from, he lives in Champaign, Illinois, with another brother of mine, but he's out here for the holidays. Now, that's fine, and I don't mind him being here, but when people come in and leave and come in and leave, it's almost as if I don't exist, and there's an existential depression that goes along with that.
What, all right, I think we're getting a little far afield here. I want to talk about the traffic and like that.
Yeah.
And I want to find out just exactly how heavy the traffic's been, where are the cars, you know, going to.
Right, right. That's what you're doing, and this is what my point is. You need from me. You want. And I don't know I don't know what I'm getting from this.
Well, what are you saying to me? Do you want to be paid?
No, I don't want to be paid. I'm not talking about payment. I'm talking about someone seeing me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Someone seeing me and not just seeing something they get something from.
Well, what you're talking about is a very heavy philosophical discussion about, you know, like you said, the existential reality of life. I wasn't prepared to have that.
I'm not talking about anything heavy. I'm not.
You're talking to me about, excuse me, you're talking to me about people seeing you and not just taking you for granted. Is that right?
I'm talking about something more than that, Phil. I'm talking about the way that people behave around Thanksgiving. They behave almost like pigs in a sty. They come in, they get there, they take the gas, a precious resource. They drive to God knows where, burning up precious fuel in the process. God knows how much oil it takes so that they can drive to wherever they're going to. It may be a place that is worthwhile. It may not be a place that's worthwhile. I don't get to ask that. I don't get to do anything about that. No one says to me, Vernon, make sure they're going somewhere meaningful and not just going on some silly-ass joyride. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, first of all, Vernon, you sound angry, and maybe I shouldn't be talking to you tonight. All right?
No, I don't mind talking to you.
No, but you're talking about stuff I don't want to talk about, to be honest with you. I want to talk about the traffic.
Yeah, in other words, what you're saying is exactly what I've been talking about myself, which is you want to use me for what you want.
I know I don't feel like I'm using you. Didn't you say you'd come on my show?
Yes, I agreed to give you something. Now, what do I get? What are you giving me?
What am I giving you? I told everybody your name, all right? You've got a Perfecto station out there. Is that what it's called?
It's called Perfesso. Perfesso Gasoline.
Okay, Perfesso Gasoline, which is your gasoline station. I'm giving you a plug. People can come out and get gas at your station.
Yeah, they can come out to my station, get gas, ignore me, ignore my disabled brother. Just come in and take. See, this is...
You know, if I was just tuning into this right now, I'd swear to God it was a joke. This sounds so ridiculous.
What is ridiculous about this? I talk to my students about this all the time.
It's a very fine discussion to have. It's a great discussion. It's the Kafkaesque. It's metamorphosis. It's existentialism. I understand all of that stuff. It's great. It's a discussion of life. But we are not going to have that discussion tonight. We're going to have a discussion of the traffic and how many people are coming into the gas station and how heavy the traffic is and where people are going. And that's what I want to talk about.
Fine. Great.
Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Because if you don't want to do that...
No.
You'll do it.
Yeah. What do you want to do? I'll do whatever you want me to do. What do you want me to do? I'll do it. Whatever you want, I'll do. Because that's why I was born, apparently. I was born to just... I'm Vernon. Come up and just have me do anything you want. Because that's what my life is.
Vernon, I'm going to hang up on you. And
no, please, Phil. I feel bad. Go ahead and use me in ways that I can't even imagine. Go ahead and use me, even humiliate me if you must. Go ahead. Go ahead, pull my pants down, make my hair into a little cutesy doll, whatever you want to do.
No, that's not why I had you on the show. And if that's how you feel, I don't want to treat you.
Because I just...
I mean, this is ridiculous. I called up so I could talk to you about, well, you know what.
Okay, here you go. We've had a lot of customers coming in tonight, Phil. It has been a very, very heavy day, a very, very heavy evening of traffic. People have coming in, and most people are going to Northern California, here from Southern California. That's where we travel. I know that around the country there are people who are going to different spots. Perhaps if you live in New York City and you're getting out of town, going upstate perhaps, or maybe you're going down into Pennsylvania or Jersey and you're visiting family. Here in Los Angeles, generally when people leave town, they head north. They may head south or even east to Arizona or up to Vegas, but a lot of folks are going up to the San Francisco Bay Area, and that's what I'm seeing.
All right, so is most of this traffic going north on the 5?
Let me see. There's one main artery north-south, and it's the 5. Yeah, I guess that would be it. Jeez.
Okay, you know something? Put this guy on hold.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
Whatever his problem is, man, I'm not, you know, I don't want to deal with it tonight, okay?
Well, he's talking about, it's kind of simple.
What do you mean? I know the main north-south artery is 5. He doesn't have to act like I'm a dumbass.
Well, why'd you ask?
Let me ask you something, man. The main artery going north-south is the 5. There's also the 101.
Yeah, but that ain't anywhere near where the one was, that what was he was.
Huh? That's nowhere near where the one was that what he was?
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
Oh, good. Well, you didn't get that either? I guess you need to learn how to speak English, bud. That would be a really, really nice start. There's a 101.
The 101's not near him.
Okay, so the 101's not near him. There's also the 15, the 215. Maybe they're going up to Barstow. Maybe they're going out to 10, you know.
Yeah, that's where everybody's going for a Thanksgiving, Barstow.
Maybe they're going to Vegas. Jeez, you guys are goofy, man. You think I'm nuts. And this guy's all crying because people don't see him. They're just take. This guy's supposed to be on my show telling me about traffic. We'll be right back. We'll take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here. Vernon Dozier with us from Brand Boulevard in Glendale, where his Professor gas station is, and where much of the I guess vehicles and the commuters and the motorists who are on their way out of town for Thanksgiving, many of them pass through this intersection on their way to the 5 or to the 134, which are main arteries out of Los Angeles, gassing up. Vernon, you said that you had people who are heading to Northern California, a lot of people that are heading out east and so forth. Now, what's the traffic light like as far as you can see on the interstate itself?
The traffic is terrible. I mean, it's slow and go, and that's just the way it's been. It's going to be that way for a number of hours, I think. As you know, Phil, it's the time of year where an individual may want to go just 50 miles. If you want to go, let's say, like where your studio is located in the very northern reaches of the LA metro area, and you want to go to the southern reaches, you know, southern Orange County, it's going to take you hour after hour after hour. I mean, that's ordinarily about an hour drive anyway. It'll take you 5 hours.
5 hours. 5 hours.
That's right.
And we're talking, what, 60 miles something?
70 miles, yeah. Yeah, that's how bad it's been. Now, as far as the traffic load going north, the same thing, because you were saying, well, there's more than one artery going north-south. But yeah, you're right, but the 101 is way over to the coast. I'm talking about the interior of California. And that's the one artery going north, and that's going to be jammed up. And the other thing about the 5 is that you've got California Highway Patrol crawling that thing up and down the CHP's all over it. They're all over it like white on rice. And if you try to pull anything, if you try to get cute, you try to get funny, they will come down on you like a bag of ball bearings, man. I mean, they you know they've got the air traffic.
Well, they got choppers.
Yeah, they got choppers up there. And I've seen CHP. They'll do this. They got the chopper, so they're clocking people down on the 5. And what they'll do is they'll go ahead and radio ahead. You get about 2 or 3 radio cars. They'll pull over 10, 15 people at once. And everybody gets well. I mean, they're going to hit everybody up with a ticket. Now, the good news about this traffic is ain't nobody speeding. But I know there's going to be some people trying to get funny. They'll try to get cute. They'll try to, you know.
Well, what are they going to do? I mean, if you're in a traffic jam.
Well, they'll try to go around it. They'll drive out over the desert area. They'll drive through someone's farmland. You know,
they'll drive through someone's farmland. I mean, are you telling me people are going to get off of the 5 and drive overland?
Yes, they will. They'll drive right smack over someone's grazing pasture, over farmland. That's all farmland up there. They will ruin an entire field of lettuce trying to get off the interstate and cut about 3 minutes off their day. They will destroy a man's business for 6 months just because they want to get to grandma's house sooner. And that's the thing the drivers have more than anything else. That's why I was getting upset. These people coming in, getting their gasoline, and where are they going? Off to someone's home, an individual who will be dead next year. And
you know, that's a crude. If you're trying to be funny...
No, I'm not trying to be funny.
Well, if you're not trying to be funny, that's a crude thing to say.
What is crude about that?
It's none of your business. It's none of anybody. If you want to go see your grandmother or your mother, whoever the hell it is you're going to see, and they're going to be dead next year, you don't have to mention that.
And I've got... Is that right? I've got a mentally challenged brother who sits on a wicker chair, and the only thing he has to do is to yell out ding, ding when someone comes in, because we purposely didn't put a bell strip out, one of those bell cables out.
And he's doing what?
You're not listening to me, are you?
I'm listening to you. What did you say?
I said, I heard you talking about old people, and it was in bad taste for me to say they're going to die.
Yes, in very bad taste.
Bad taste for me to say that people are going up to have Thanksgiving with them because they may die.
Yeah, very, very bad taste.
All right. Meanwhile, while those people gas up, I have to bring my mentally challenged brother with me because my wife's afraid of him, and he sits here in a folding chair, and the only thing that I've got for him to do is when a new customer, you know, a new car comes in, he goes ding, ding.
He goes ding, ding, like when they...
When you drive over the bell strip.
Okay. Well, are you saying it like you need him there?
I didn't buy a bell strip to give him something to do. God, would you listen to me?
So you didn't buy a bell strip so your brother could sit and go ding, ding.
So he's got something to do, yeah. Here comes a car. Hey, Charlie, I'm going to put the phone out, Charlie. Hold on. Ding, ding. There, did you hear that?
Is that your...
That's my brother. Hold on, Charlie. Jerry, we got a customer. Okay, yeah, never mind. Because I've also got the guys doing a couple of... I've got 2 front-end jobs that I got to get done sooner or later. Go ahead, Jerry, you take care. Ding, ding. Got another car? Ding, ding. Okay, it is another car, right? And
well, that's ridiculous. You know, why don't you...
What do you mean it's ridiculous? Oh, my brother doesn't... He doesn't get to have things to do. My brother doesn't get to have enjoyment. Only some guy who wants to siphon all the gas right out of the Middle East so he can go up and see a grandmother that will be basically bones and ashes within 6 months. And
boy, you really got a bitter thing going tonight, man. From the minute I started talking to you, you know, you were on about how nobody pays any attention to you.
Are you listening to my brother? Did you hear him go ding, ding? Do you think that that's something that you want your brother to do?
I don't know. I mean, if you're telling me that he's going ding, ding because you want to give him something to do, you say that he's mentally challenged, you say that he's visiting.
Ding, ding!
You say, was that him again?
Yeah, that was some other guy going ding, ding. Go on. Charlie? Ding, ding! Hey, we got another car. I got another car. I heard the retard say ding, ding. Don't you use that language. Hold on for a minute. Don't you ever use that language.
That was bad.
I'm talking on the radio. Even the guy on the radio said it's bad. I'm sorry, sir, but I heard the retard go ding, ding. Don't say retard. You know, I can't... This guy's the best front-end guy that I could find, and he's stupid as the day is long.
Who is he?
He's some bum that I hired. He just got out of prison. You know, I know the guy spent the last 10 years in prison, but that doesn't make him stupid, does it? And he's still using that retard word. What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at the retard word. I'm really not. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The guy just got out of prison.
He did. He's the best front-end guy I've ever seen in my life, and he just got out of... Yeah, the other one. Got out of Folsom. So...
Well, what was he in for?
That's not... I don't want to get into that, Phil, okay?
All right, I'm sorry. We're talking here with Vernon Dozier as we discuss the traffic situation.
Ding, ding!
And I don't know whether...
Yeah. Another one.
Ding, ding! I don't have enough...
Look, we got a... If you have to go...
Yeah, I'm going to have to go, Phil, and help the guy.
Ding, ding!
I see it, Charlie. I see the cars. You don't have to keep going ding, ding.
Ding, ding!
Have you ever wanted to hurt a brother of yours, even though he mentally was about 6?
Ding, ding! Shut your mouth!
All right, I got to go.
Calm down, Vernon. Calm down.
All right.
Calm down. You've had an attitude for a half an hour here.
Oh, okay, Mother Rosalia.
Yeah, that's right. That just call me Mother Rosalia. You got it. Calm the hell down, man. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your brother. He's there with you.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, lots of fun.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.